You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Big Noon Kickoff presents Bear Bets. I, of course, am your host, Bear, Chris Felica. My co-host, again, is back with me, Jeff Schwartz. Will, Sammy P will join us a little bit for the gambling group chat. It's this Michigan story is just, it gets weirder and weirder by the day. Yeah. Like, at first, I was like, yeah, okay, they're stealing signs. As long as they're not, like, recording anything. And then it's like, oh, yeah, they're literally sitting buying tickets to sit across and record things. And now it's like there was maybe, like, someone tipped off to hire a private detective to it's just a bizarre and
every day
who the
more.
Heck knows how it's going to end.
So here's the thing about sign stealing. Sign stealing, just like in baseball, using traditional methods to steal signs, totally okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally part of the game. I mean, when I was at Oregon in 2006, we had a bunch of coaches that left in the offseason, went to Cal. Go to Cal, and they knew our signs, our signals. And the defense on the Cal's, in my stance, and Cal's linebacker would be like, play's going right here. He'd point exactly where the play is going, and the play's going right there. Now, it's our fault for not changing the signs, but that's part of football, right? At Oregon, our defensive coordinator had the same sign for the same zone pressure the entire time I was there.
Was it Nick?
Nick Aliotti. Love Nick. But I'd be in my stance at practice, and I would look right at the defensive coordinator. He would call the pressure, and I'd be like, zone blitz, right here, guys. They're running right here. Like that's part of the gamesmanship of the game. And we know there are certain programs right now that have notoriously been very good at the sign stealing, right? They either watch a TV copy. They have someone, obviously, on the sidelines during the games looking at it, and they match it up. Now, it doesn't always mean that you're going to be successful on the play. It doesn't mean you're always going to win or lose the game. But sign stealing is part of the game. However, when you sort of break that code of in the stands, recording that's the kind of the breaking of the rules. And I know it's actually a rule, but it's breaking of like the coaching fraternity, right? It's the same with Spygate, right? You're allowed to steal signs, but then when you on the sidelines recording the other team, you break that fraternity of coaching kind of, you know, the fraternity of what you're supposed to do as a coach. So the question for me though is how much does it actually matter to wins and losses? Because that obviously will determine, I think, how much we look at Michigan's season this year, last year, the year before that. The one clip that went around was of them, of the guy Connor with the defensive coordinator. Ohio State scored in that play though. Like, so how much does it actually matter to the games? I don't have a great answer for you. And I argue probably not. I mean, you could have handed Rutgers, Michigan State, any of these teams, Michigan's playbook and said, they're going to run this play on this play. And it would have mattered.
Which is why they're buying tickets to go to Georgia games, Alabama games. And
went to an Oregon-Washington game, I think. Maybe the Oregon-Washington game. There was some report about them going to some Pac-12 games. So, again, they broke the rules. It's very clear they did this. Like, there's no debate. So, for me, as a player and just someone who watches the sport, like, how much does it actually matter to them winning and losing?
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, the fact that they know a play is coming, and if the play is executed perfectly by the offense, the fact that they know it's coming, can you stop it?
You mean, well, you would be put players in the position where they're supposed to be. Here's the thing that I think is not talked about is that do the players know what the plays are going to be? So, for example, in the clip that we saw, right, Ohio State made a call. Mm-hmm. Michigan then signaled in their response.
Yeah, with the Connor Stallions guy standing right next to the defense coordinator. Right.
Do the players know exactly what the play is, or the coaches just putting them into an optimal defense to stop said play? Because those are two different things, right? Like, if you're a player, you know exactly what is going to happen. You should execute that and be able to stop the opposing team on that given play. But if you're just told, okay, we're in cover three, it's the best look for what the offense is going to do, you then have to execute as a player, right? Like you don't know what's going to happen. So that's, I think, the difference in sort of the nuances of how much does it help a win and lose a game, right? Like, yeah. As I mentioned, like the Cal players, it's our fault. We didn't change our signs. They knew exactly the play. So they were like, the ball's going right here. And guess what? They stopped the play. They knew the ball was going exactly right there. Or they knew the protection, right? Or think, no, it's our fault again for not changing the signs. You know, I knew what we were going to do on defense exactly in practice because we called the same play all the time. So we should be successful in that play. So I don't know how much, like, is J.J. McCarthy standing there? And if they stole the defensive signs, does he know the exact thing they're going to do? I don't know, man.
Right. I don't think anybody does.
Right. And so I think that we'll find that out, I think, as the day has come. And that'll change my opinion. Because right now, the question is, well, what's the proper punishment for this season? Because next year, Harbaugh is going to the NFL.
Right. I mean, that's the end game. We all know how this ends. Like the attorneys will correct. Drag it out. And by the time anything happens, Harbaugh will be in.
Correct. And then
Chicago or wherever.
Well, Kevin Warren's there, so I don't know if he'll be in Chicago.
That's a very interesting aside.
He'll be somewhere, so he won't even be punished for this. And I hope they don't punish the current players that maybe had nothing to do with it, or new coaching staff that might not have anything to do with it. Like that's the problem with NCAA. They punish so late in the process that the players and coaches that weren't part of it get punished.
We're going to give you a show cause or whatever. He's never coming back.
He's never coming back to college football. The one. Personally, the sad part for me is like I really like Michigan. I like watching them play football.
It's great.
They've won the Joe Moore Award now 2 years in a row, a panel that I'm very proud to be part of. And so like I haven't made my mind if it tarnishes the way I feel about Michigan yet. I need to see more information out. But I'm kind of like bummed. Like, Michigan, why? You know, like I feel like this could tarnish what they've done, which absolutely it might have to tarnish what they've done. So it's just a personal bummer. Like I'm kind of like, I like you guys, and now you have this scandal above you guys.
Yeah, I think back to, was it 2013, the year Jameis was a freshman, and he, fun, exciting offense, having fun on the field, the locker room speeches. And then the story comes out about the bad stuff that he allegedly did off the field. And it was like, really? Yeah. And like Cam Newton as well in 2010. It's like, it's funny. I had great Cam, Auburn up. Yeah. He stole a laptop or threw it out the window. And then his dad's taking money for it. And it's like, really? It was funny. I had a former colleague at ESPN who used to be a news editor. And, I remember we were driving to Alabama. We were going from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I've done that
when the Jameis story was like
the crab leg.
Not the crab leg. Okay. The other one.
Yeah.
And I just remember her, and she used to talk like a longshoreman. It was great. I loved her, and she's just dropping it. You can never trust any of these. Boop, 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 boop. And like she was like just so jaded. Like it gives me like, oh, it's a great story. It's fun. It's
I know. That's what I feel about Michigan a little
now,
bit.
It's like, are we naive enough to think that Michigan is the only team doing this?
Well,
so, maybe this operation.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, so how many teams are going to the opposing sidelines to film them? Obviously, Michigan was doing it. They put the tickets under his name, which is just ridiculously stupid. Well, so here's, and also a thing too, is that if he was buying all these tickets, like his salary is public. It's not a lot of money. I mean, who's paying for this operation,
not
right?
Him.
Not him. So obviously, and there are people that really believe that Harbaugh had nothing to do with this. Like there are people out there that firmly believe that like he didn't.
Well, it would be plausible deniability.
Plausible deniability on this one. So, but Harbaugh's going to be gone. He's not going to be Michigan next season.
No.
And I think also, too, what like stinks is like Sherrone Moore, who's the offensive line coach, who coached one of the games this year. Like, he's next up for that job, I feel like. And now it might be
where you got to disassociate yourself from
with everyone. Like, you have to get rid of everyone. I Kalen DeBoer might be the answer for them if that ends up happening, by the way. I feel like that's – sorry for Washington fans, but I feel like I've been – that's his –
interesting.
Yeah. I was reading some message boards. I love college football message boards.
Oh, yeah, they're the best.
I think I saw one where it said like Kalen DeBoer his dream job has always been Michigan. So, yeah. I would hate that as an Oregon fan.
I will say this though. The message board stuff with this has been amazing because it was a Tennessee site that had this like a year ago.
I did not get into message boards until a couple years ago. So a buddy of mine got me into recruiting. So that's why I started.
Tiger droppings. The LSU board is great.
This, I will say, a pleasure of mine this past weekend was Sunday morning. I made myself a coffee. The kids were quiet. And I opened up the USC message board, drinking my coffee. the USC message board was, message boards are great. Just do it, guys. If you're a college football fan, go to the message board. I don't write nothing. Just read everything. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, the message board genius is
that account is fantastic.
Is great.
Well, let's get to some wagers for this week. We have Bears bets now. Then we'll have our best bets at the end of the show after gambling group chat. Let's start off in an ACC matchup for your first wager of the week. Clemson is at North Carolina State. North Carolina State is plus 10. The total is 44. Clemson is 4-3. They lost to Miami last weekend, 28-20. They've only covered two of their seven games so far this season. NC State is 4-3. They're also 2-5 against the spread. NC State's off a bye. They lost last to Duke 24-3 in their last game. Bear, what do you got here?
I'm looking at the NC State team total under 16.5. Now, I am banking on the fact that Clemson is not going to throw in the towel here after giving that game away in South Florida last week against Miami's backup quarterback. Yeah. And losing that under and losing the Miami team total under was part of a very, very bad evening for me last week. Happy my alma mater won, but not happy that I was.
How about Kate Klubnik just deciding to keep the ball for himself in that play? Like, you can do that if you score a touchdown. Like, for example, I know I'm very Oregon-centric at times, but, you know, Bucky Irving's long touchdown run against Washington State, that was him doing his own thing, but he scored a touchdown. Right. Like, you can do that if you score a touchdown. You can't pull a ball like that and not score a touchdown. Right. Like, that's just bad football.
You just give yourself the best opportunity to score.
Yeah.
But, like, NC State, you go back to that, like, the offensive showing against Duke is abysmal. You thought maybe that Marshall game with MJ Morris at quarterback, maybe there were some signs. But if you look at their ACC play, 10 against Louisville, 3 against Duke, it slid by Virginia 24-21. Like, I'm banking on Dabo being able to rally them. Hey, we keep be proud, Clemson, be program, keep it going. Like, you win out the regular season, you win a bowl game. You'll win 10 games again, despite everything. So I think that that's going to be kind of like the rallying cry. Now we'll see if Clemson A is talented enough to do it, and B, if those players on defense are invested, but that defense is still really good. So I'm going to go under 16.5 here for the Wolfpack team total.
A note here, NC State is 98th in the country right now, points per drive on offense. Yeah, and as you mentioned, the last two defenses that are comparable to Clemson, 3 points to 10 points. So I'm with you here. Next game here, we're going to the Big 12, a new Big 12 team, BYU at Texas. Texas is a 17.5-point favorite. The total is 50.5. BYU is 5-2. They're 2-2 in the Big 12. They just beat Texas Tech 27-14. They're 3-4 against the spread this season. Texas is 6-1. They squeezed by Houston last weekend on the road, and Texas is 3-4 against the spread this season. They're also without their starting quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think Ewers being out is a massive deal. This week, I think Malik Murphy will be just fine. I think the coaches are very confident in him. I think maybe they have a couple of other injuries, much that are more minor compared to Ewers. But I think Ewers short term, if he's out, I think they're going to be okay with Murphy. And I think the defense will take it upon themselves to really carry this team. Like, they got a 21-0 last week on Houston right out of the gate, and I think they're probably okay. This game's over, and then tone of the game changed. So I think they'll get up again. I don't think that they will fall asleep on the lead. I think the defense will play well. I think the offense will run the ball very, very well. But Murphy has a cannon. I don't think they'll maybe will be as up-tempo or whatever. Yeah. But at the same time, I think that receiver play, the running game. And BYU, when they went on the road to TCU a couple weeks ago, they lost like 44-10 or whatever it was. So, like, and that's not a very good TCU team at all. So I think defensively, this is going to be a very bad matchup for BYU here.
Worth noting, BYU's offense has a third and out and over a third of their drives, which is not good.
No.
Especially against a good Texas team. And they're near the bottom of the sport in explosive play rate. You just can't – have a lot of three and outs and then not be able to push the ball down the field if you're BYU. So I think this is low scoring, right? But probably somewhere in the 31-6 range, something like that, I imagine, right?
That seems logical.
Yeah. All right. Next up, a big matchup of the SEC. Yes. Florida, Georgia. Georgia favored by 14.5. Total is 47.5. Feels a tad low for this game. Florida is 5-2. Two straight conference wins are 3-4 against the spread. Georgia is 7-0, as we know. They've only covered a single game this season. However, that was the game they wanted to win the most, was the Kentucky game. Where are you going here?
Well, we all knew Florida would be controlling its destiny to get to the SEC title game at this yes. point in the year, especially after
Utah.
You know, I was going to say, especially after looking so good in Salt Lake on the opening night of the season. But I laid the points here with Georgia. You hit on it. Like, the game against Kentucky, everybody was like down on Georgia. Are they really number one? Kentucky's defense, Devin Leary, this is an opportunity where I think Georgia could be on upset alert, and they came out and played their best game of yep. the year. It's the first game that they'll play full since the Brock Bowers injury. And Kirby Smart hit on this earlier in the year. Like, people were calling for, why isn't Brock getting the ball more? And Kirby came out and basically said, like, when the injury happened now, like, that was by design early in the year to get some of the other players involved. That way, if we were in a situation where we needed someone else to make a yeah. player, we didn't have Brock. Like, these guys are prepared now. Now they're prepared. They're ready. They have experience. And sure, you don't want to be without your best player and biggest offensive threat. But I think what went on earlier in the year now, their offense will be better. Beck is improving week by week. And I just have no faith in that Florida defense yeah. at all. We've seen South Carolina put up a bunch of points. I think Georgia could put up a big number. I think the last 2 years have been 42-20, 34-7. Like, the talent gap is still there.
The Kentucky game plan against Florida is what Georgia's going to do. They're going to run the football, right? Yeah. And they're going to protect Carson Beck as best they can. They've had now a couple weeks to get ready without Bowers there, right? So they can, I think, formulate a game plan to get going here. But I go back to the point I made about Georgia and Kentucky. Like, when Georgia, the last couple of years, has wanted to win the game, like, when they've tried their heart, they beat everyone's ass, and they beat them by a lot. And a suspect Florida offensive line at times as well. Now, Georgia doesn't have a big sack, which they didn't have last year as well.
No.
They still pressure the quarterback, though. The defense is not made to get a bunch of sacks. It's an interesting thought when people think about their defense. It's so good, but not made to get sacks, right?
It's not
made that way. So, all right, those are three bets for now. Let's recap where Bear is standing. He has NC State team total under 16.5. They are hosting Clemson. He has Texas hosting BYU, but favored by 17.5. He'll lay the points with Texas there. And the last one we just talked about, Georgia minus 14.5 in the world's largest outdoor tailgate now.
Laying north of two touchdowns. Two.
It's not world's cocktail party anymore, right? It's like world's biggest tailgate.
Outdoor tailgate, yeah.
In Jacksonville, right?
Yes.
In Jacksonville. All right. Let's get to the gambling group chat. A lot of fun as usual. It's Bear, it's Sammy, it's Will Hill, and myself. Take a listen to that.
Gambling group chat is back with myself, Jeff, Sammy P, and Will Hill. Usually we like to talk about games that are taking place this week. I want to start with something kind of big picture, biggest story in college football right now. It seems to be this Michigan sign-stealing, cheating, allegation story, whatever you want to call it. And I just wonder, is someone who has a J.J. McCarthy Heisman ticket, myself, and I know, Sammy P, you are as well. Are you a little concerned that there might be a little bit of a residual here amongst voters that maybe they may shun McCarthy or shun Michigan for some of these postseason awards because of what's being alleged?
Not in the slightest. I would make it minus 5,000 that this gets solved before the national championship. You know what I mean? I mean, this is something that'll drag on for months. I don't think the voters are going to do that. I think the voters are more inclined to wait for the official results because they are journalists, and then they'll, you know, go ahead and rewind and ransack the program and ban whatever going forward. But I mean, I don't know, Will, about you. I feel like this thing is going to bleed out for months at Michigan. And then by that point, we'll already have our McCarthy cash, Bear, or our Penix cash or whatever. And then good luck coming to my house to pry it from my cold, dead hands.
Yeah, I think if there's any implications, that to me the most interesting thing is, like, next year, if there's sanctions against Michigan, does this Chase Harbaugh way where he's like, oh, I'm not going to deal with it, you know, if say there's a ban or something, I'll just go to the NFL for the final, you know, 3-5 years of my career. That's what interests me. I'm with Sammy. I don't think there's any sort of betting implication where people hold this against McCarthy. I don't think that would be fair. I don't think that happens.
I think it won't happen because we don't know how much this actually affects their winning and losing. I mean, they could have given Michigan State their entire playbook. It wouldn't matter last weekend, right? I mean, they're kicking everyone's ass. So to me, they won't hold it against them because it doesn't seem to matter very much. And again, I mean, even as a former player, I don't know how much it actually helped them win and lose. I mean, the one clip that made its way on social media, Ohio State scored on that play. So, like, how much did they actually know about what Ohio State was going to do? So to me, it's not going to hurt him very much. I think if he's the clear winner, or he'll win. Look, maybe if it's very, very close, you're deciding between Michael Penix and McCarthy, you take that into consideration. I wouldn't do it if I was a Heisman voter. But I think because you can't prove it actually really helped them win games, at least not now, I don't think it'll hurt him.
Well, I hope you're right, because you never really know what's going through the mind of some of these people and some of the grudges they may hold against certain teams, certain coaches, whomever. Sammy giving journalists maybe far too much respect than they might deserve with some
Aren't
of the
Aren't we
things.
Technically journalists a little bit?
No. Well, you and I are not journalists.
No, we're opinionists.
I remember who was it that I had a conversation with that I used to work with, who was a coach who like someone told him that he's now a journalist, and he was like, no, I'm not. I'm not a journalist.
We're opinionists, right?
Yes, exactly.
Opinionists.
Yes. Yeah, we're content creators.
They're content creators.
the content that was created I guess at Pinnacle on Sunday, and now with the betters throughout the country, this Oregon line makes no sense. Up to 6.5 now. Do people remember what has happened the last couple of times Oregon has played Utah? Previous regime, previous administration, but it has not been pretty. Utah has absolutely run roughshod over the Ducks. And I don't know, is it the fact that maybe some bettors were hanging on for hope that maybe Keithy or Cam Rising were going to play, and that's why the Utah numbers have kind of been a little shorter? But like, isn't this number at 6.5, Jeff? Like, there's no way you can lay 6.5, can you?
Absolutely not, no. Now, as an Oregon fan, I'm not betting Utah plus 6.5. I think it's very odd to root for your team to only win by a certain number of points, so I'm not doing that. But to me, guys, the under is certainly in play here. The first five games, Utah had 15 explosive plays on offense. That's it. Since then, they've had 14, so they've been better the last 2 weeks, but the last two opponents they put on defense are terrible. Cal and USC, they're playing a real defense again. So I don't think they're going to score very much here. Oregon will shut down Vaki, shut down the rushing game. No respect for what Barnes can do as a passer. But on the flip side, guys, Oregon's offense is number one in the country points per drive. They're very good. They're not as good on the road. They're having some issues on third and short, having some issues in the red zone, obviously on fourth down. And what Utah can do defensively, to me, guys, can really shut down Oregon. I'm picking Oregon to win, obviously, because I'm an Oregon fan, but I don't feel comfortable doing that. To me, the play is the under here. I'm not sure this gets to even 40 points. I could see a 2017 game, same as last season, a 17-14 game, a 17-13 game. I just don't think we're going to see a lot of points this weekend in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, it looked like weather might be a factor. It looked like it would be like 30s, wintry mix. I just checked the weather. It's high of 47. It's a noon local kickoff, so it'll be chilly, but I don't think the weather is anything to factor into your handicap. I mean, we know Utah's MO. They're tough. They're good on defense. They're tough at home. I don't know if they're as great on defense this year as they've been in past years. You worry about them. You know, if they get behind, pass protection, I think, is an issue. But to me, it's Utah or nothing. I mentioned last week against USC, Utah's a good live betting team, because if they ever got behind 10 points, two scores or whatever, they're in trouble, because that's just not their game. That's not their MO to play from behind. But to me, Utah will be right in this game.
I actually just wrote down Utah plus 6.5 and circled it for two reasons. Number one, Bear said you can't bet it. And number two, Jeff said, I like Oregon to win, but not cover, or I'm not going to lay the points. So that, like, my sirens went off. Like, that's probably
there you go. I love it.
Yeah, the contrarian play of the week. I mean, look, if I was a bookmaker here in Massachusetts and I wrote 100 bets on this game, how many would I write on Utah? 25, 30? I mean, 80? The house is clearly made the Utes. If the Utes won outright, it'd be outstanding for the house. But I'm not there. I wish Utah had a quarterback. I'm going to tail Jeff. I think that move on the under is real. Obviously, it opened 49. And we're seeing 48, 47.5. There's a couple 47s. So the wise guys have already spoken on the under. And if you're going to bet that, a lot like what we talked about last week when we said, look, Ohio State, Penn State, bet under 47. It's going to close lower. And it closed 45, 45.5. I would still bet under right now at 47.5, 48 before it gets through that very key number of 47.
Well, when you open that bookmaking industry in Massachusetts, let me know. I'll drive across north across the border to help you out there. Maybe have another available out for me, being that my outs are some woman right now.
I'm
just looking
show?
Down
you
the
say that, huh?
I can't say that, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Why not? Huh? Huh? I'm not really serious. I'm not, like, I'm really gonna go across state lines and make a way. Come on.
That would never happen.
Like I'm serious about this. Trying to make a light of something about the current state of sports wagering throughout this country and the different rules that you can bet, can't bet, and states you can do it or whatever. Just legalize it, right? Wasn't there a song about that? Legalize it?
Yeah. It's coming to North Carolina soon. I'm very excited.
Good for you.
I know. I can't wait.
Anyway, you're looking at all these national title contenders kind of away from home this week. Oklahoma on the road at KU, on the road at Kansas. Ohio State on the road at Wisconsin. Georgia, the neutral site game against Florida. Florida State on the road against Sammy P's favorite team, Wake. UW on the road at Stanford. Any of these teams you think in trouble this week, Will? I think I know there's one here I think you do particularly like. Might not be a true road game, but I think there's one double digit dog here you do like, right?
Yeah, there's a couple. I mean, you talked about Oklahoma a few weeks ago, and you said you talked to some people in college football, and they felt Oklahoma, despite the stats defensively, they're not as good as the stats. That's kind of where I'm at. Look, I'm sure they'll move the ball in Kansas. Everybody moves the ball in Kansas. But even if Daniels doesn't play, I think Kansas will move the ball on them. It's off the key number of 10. You're seeing mostly 9, 9.5. But to me, that would still be Kansas or nothing. I think that'll be a tight game. I just think Oklahoma, a little overrated, very lucky to get out of that game last week against UCF. And I like Florida. It's not pretty, but +14.5. I haven't loved this Georgia offense all year. I love it even less without Bowers. I think Florida will probably have a good game plan here and to run the ball, shorten the game. Napier's been good as a dog. That's a lot of points, 14.5. I think you're Oppo with me here. I think you like Georgia. I'm surprised.
Florida's
that ugly side where nobody wants to bet Florida. And like Sammy said, if you're writing 100 tickets, you're writing a whole bunch of Georgia ones. But you know, these top five teams laying huge numbers have not done well this season, especially with the new clock rule. So I like the Gators here.
Yeah, I think the fact why I like Georgia is we saw a couple of weeks ago when they were kind of doubted against Kentucky. People thought they might be in trouble. Is Georgia number one? They responded with their best win of the regular season and completely blew out Kentucky. And I think here, I just don't know about that Florida defense. I know they came back and beat South Carolina, but that South Carolina defense is bad. South Carolina's offensive line is like, I think that was just going to be one of those high scoring back and forth type games. So I think Georgia will show last 2 years. I think it's been like 74-20, something ridiculous. They've been two absolute blowouts. So I think with the week off after the Bowers injury, I think as I was talking with Jeff earlier, I think UGA will be good here. Sammy, any of those big favorites maybe in trouble this week, you think?
I don't know about in trouble. Boys, I wish I could take Wisconsin against Ohio State. I mean,
so do I.
They're going to hang a 14.5 in my face in Camp Randall, where they're going to be jumping around like maniacs. I wish I could, but with Mordecai, the quarterback, out, my issue is I don't know how much Wisconsin is going to score. Like, can they get to 17? If they can, they can cover. That could be 31-17. You cover by the hook, but I'm terrified going up against this Ohio State defense that looked unbelievable again last week. I mean, we talk about, can the quarterback play? Is Harrison good enough to win the Heisman? Who's running the ball? And then we ignore Ohio State's defense shutting down basically everybody all season, including Penn State. But I'm going to ride with Kansas here. We don't think Daniels is going to play the quarterback. He's got a back thing, and there's rumblings that he might just want to hold out and maybe come back next year when there are a lot less quarterbacks going in the first couple of rounds. So maybe that's something to pay attention to. But Bean can move the ball. And as we've talked about on Bear Bets, Lance Leipold is one of the best coaches in the country at manipulating safeties. Every time you watch a Kansas game film, they hit the home run right down the middle of the field because the play action and the manipulation of the safeties is so good. I would take, you know, there are some stale 10s you could take. But that should be a close game. And look, I would not be surprised at all if Kansas won that game outright.
I would caution everyone wagering on Stanford this weekend. I feel like when you look at how Washington played last weekend, people are going to go look at Stanford and say, hey, Stanford, they beat Colorado 2 weeks ago. They can come back and do it again to Washington. Obviously, they're not in the same category. Stanford's played three ranked teams this year. They lost 56-10, 42-6, and 42-7. It's not good, Bear. I would actually be comfortable laying the 26 with Washington on the road, which I know is a big number, but in the Pac-12 conference since 2011, road favorites of 24 points or more have covered 9 of 12 games. Like, if you're bad, you're bad. Stanford's not very good. I just would advise putting money on Stanford this weekend, which I think people might do come Saturday. Oh, look, there's a Pac-12 game, a bunch of points for Stanford. They just beat Colorado 2 weeks ago. Washington looked bad against against Arizona State. I would just caution people on putting money on Stanford this weekend.
Number of Stanford fans that are in the stands for that game?
Oh, it's a 4:30 local kick, I think. 17.
Yeah, 17 Stanford fans. It was amazing when we would do games there to cover them. Just a beautiful setting, beautiful campus, great little stadium, and it was just empty.
All Oregon
fans. Like, it was so
every game.
I just sat. Why is like David Shaw like still here? Like, how are they getting all Bryce Love and all these like great defensive Jim? No one goes to these games. It was terrible. Speaking of fans, we sell out at the Rose Bowl, Jeff, for Colorado.
This storyline is so silly. Okay, the Rose Bowl. I've been to 50 games there. Okay, my parents had some tickets as a kid. I went to every game every year. Big Bruin fan. Okay. The Rose Bowl seats like 90,000 fans. What UCLA has done is they've tarped off a third of the stadium, okay? And they have about 50-ish thousand fans, so more than a third, for all their home games. They took one tarp off, guys, and called it a sellout for Colorado. So I don't know if it's a sellout. More people than usual will be there. And I don't know about you guys. I think UCLA covers a spread. UCLA's defense, we go back to this a lot, is really, really good. It's fantastic. And they're going to pressure Colorado. They're going to make life hard for that offense. And UCLA made a quarterback change last weekend. They sat Dante Moore, which they had to do. He wasn't playing well. And the offense got back to being efficient, to running the football, to doing what Chip Kelly does. And unlike USC, and unlike teams that play, they're going to run the football in the second half of this game. If they're up big, they're going to run the football. I think the Bruins cover this big number, guys. What do you guys think?
I just miss the days. I don't know if we can have a moment of silence for the days when Colorado was a double-digit favorite and we could bet against them, because those games are obviously over, which is unfortunate. Yeah, I like
against national championship runner-up last year, TCU, right?
Right.
Let's pump that TCU and win some more.
Is that the most misleading loss of the entire season? I mean, I don't know if we talked about this last week, but that game still makes no sense. Like, the line makes no sense. The result makes no sense. And I think it sort of got all those little Colorado fans, and yes, I said little Colorado fans because they're all little, and made them all extra tall when they beat TCU. And then, Nebraska sucked, and, Colorado State should have won, and then they get drilled by Oregon. Like, that opening game loss was one of the most confusing and misleading results to me of the season. Like, it still doesn't make sense, any of it.
Probably going to be the difference between them going over the 3.5 and under the 3.5 too. People that bet the season wins, because I don't see another win here. But yeah, I think UCLA rolls here.
Bear, can we lay points with your guy Lincoln Riley this week or what? I mean, does he still have the sniffles?
I was going to say, I hope he's feeling better for sure. I know
he's back at practice.
He's back at practice now. I know it's coach's show it's. Boy,
Wilcox is a home dog, though.
They're bad, though.
It's a wager to make. Yeah, they're much bad. Worse than usual. But USC is not good. Like, I know there's a lot of talk about defensively, and they certainly have issues there. But offensively, they're not the same team they were last year. Their offensive line is not good. Mm-mm. They're not running the football enough, which is crazy. Lloyd averaged 12 yards a carry against Utah and got 7 freaking rushes. Caleb Williams is not playing as well. It's not really his fault. The offense has nobody open. This screams like, and I hate wagering over all the time on some of these games, but I mean, this is going to be, I think, a lot of points scored in this game, right?
Yeah, I would think so. You see the stories out there, like what way is it? Is there's the favorite scenario is going to be them finishing 7-5. Like, if they should win this week, and then you got UW, Oregon, and UCLA the rest of that. Like, 7-5 is on the table here. Like, we get the sense this might be you said Lincoln's name. Like, you think he might be done after this year in LA? The NFL comes calling. Do you think the NFL, A, will come calling for him? B, do you think he wants to go to the NFL?
Well, when asked about it, he hasn't said no, right? He's talked about the advantages of the schedule in the NFL. But I think anyone hires in the NFL, they're going to have to say, hey, man, like, you're not bringing Alex Grinch with you, right? Like, you're going to have to hire someone else to be the defensive coordinator. And, maybe Mike McCarthy gets axed at Dallas and Jerry Jones comes calling. I mean, is Mark Davis going to call from Vegas? Are the Bears going to need a new coach? Are they going to go with Riley and draft Caleb Williams? I don't know, but I think he's definitely going to take the phone calls. It doesn't mean he's going to leave, but I think the vibes are off at USC right now, guys. It's not well right now. Things are not going well. And as you mentioned, like, they have enough games coming up where 8-4, 7-5 is still on the table.
Are they going to quit offensively, though? Like, they might quit defensively, mm-hmm. But they scored, you know, a good amount of points against Utah. They scored 30 plus. And, you know, California, to Bear's point earlier, I think we all were on Cal when they were getting 9 at home against Oregon State. They scored 40 and didn't cover.
Blown out.
You know how hard that is to score 40 and not cover 9? Unbelievable. But I made the game 45-31. That's, you know, in the mid-70s. And the total is in the high 60s. So I might just, rather than lay 10.5, I guess I'll just go over 67.5.
Are we sure Caleb Williams is the number one pick here?
No, we're not.
Well, so that's why he's got. So, there was a suggestion, obviously, that he sits this year. There was a suggestion, obviously, that he not play the rest of the season. I disagree with that suggestion. But part of the reason I disagree with it is that he's a competitor. There's no doubt who Caleb Williams is as a competitor. Like, he is everything that everyone wants out of him. But he has to continue to play well to be drafted number one. I know one or two might not matter to the rest of us. I mean, the money is the money, the status is the status, but being drafted number one overall is pretty awesome. And if he continues to not play as one, again, I don't think it's his fault because the offense is broken. There are just no easy passes. Like, if you ever watch him play and think, oh, there's an easy pass, it's not on the offense for some reason. And so he's got to continue to play well to not let Drake May pass him. It's that simple. So I think that you talk about the motivation offensively. Do they quit? Do they not? Caleb Williams won't quit. He's going to continue to play hard because his draft stock needs him to play well.
Sammy, have you seen anywhere out there that has these number one pick in the draft props out there? Because I mean, every week when I go on the road and have access to looking at lines in different state sports books, I haven't seen any. Like I would love to bet Drake May at a good number. I don't want to just say I'm going to bet him and then I see he's 2-1 or whatever, but like, I think there's a very, very, very good chance that Drake May goes number one in the draft. Have we seen this market out there anywhere?
No, I think the books are basically telling you they're scared without telling you officially because these markets have come down. I remember about a month ago, Caleb Williams was minus $5-6 to go first overall, and now the market's evaporated. And what that tells you as a bettor is that they don't know anymore who's going one. Like, there's a lot more concern of the liabilities that could build on the other guys, on the Drake Mays. Not that Marvin Harrison goes number one overall, but, you know, Caleb, to the eyes of the books, was a lock to have him minus 500 in late September and minus 600. But to have that market go from a minus $5 favorite to off the board is just fear that it's no longer going to be Caleb Williams.
I am seeing Caleb Williams minus 300, Drake May plus 350, but this is at faraway places that might not have limits that are, you know, really worth betting. I'll just say this, though. February, March, when we have no sports to talk about, Super Bowl's over, this is going to be a real conversation for a long time. This will be because there's nothing else going on. May's going to be a good pro, I think. So I don't know. I'm looking at these odds now. I know Sammy would probably bet Shedeur Sanders 66-1, but I think May plus 350 would be an interesting bet.
Let's start that rumor right now, Sammy. We're going to Dion and Shedeur to the Bears because the Bears are going to be looking for a new coach. Play me my theme music. Even though I think my theme music right now is that Olivia Rodrigo song, that Apple commercial seems to come on like every during the. What's the name of that song, Will? I know you you've been watching a lot of the baseball too and seeing that commercial a lot.
That one, I don't know. I've seen the commercial. Like you said, it's every, you can't watch, any of these games without a commercial with Ken Griffey Jr., Olivia Rodrigo, or Travis Kelce. They're basically every single commercial, but I do not know the name of the song. But getting back to May, what number would you need on May, Bear? Like, what number is like, all right, this is where I'll fire. This is where I won't.
3.5-1. I'd take 3.5-1.
Okay. I would too.
If you tell me where that faraway place is, I can go catch a flight during the idle week or the time in between the bowl game and the regular season, go catch a flight and make a wager and fly back.
Yeah, it's a good number.
Yeah, the 3.5-1, I would certainly take. But I'm looking at some other. This feels like a very nondescript kind of slate here. You know, Mississippi State Auburn. I look at There's a 43 out there at South Point with a total of 40. Mississippi State and Auburn are going to combine for 43 points. I head on out and see my guy Chris Andrews at South Point and give him a little business. 41.5 everywhere else. I'm just looking for some other games here to potentially talk about with you guys that might have some interest.
What about Texas? No Ewers for Texas.
No Ewers for Texas. I don't know how much it mattered. I actually like Texas in the game, and I was talking about that earlier with Jeff. I think Malik Murphy is got a huge arm. I think they feel pretty comfortable with him. And I think after getting up 21-0 right out of the gate last week and then falling asleep on the lead, I don't think they'll do that again. I think they'll get up big in this game, and I think they'll throttle BYU. As I said, this is a BYU team I think that lost 45-11, I think it was, at TCU. This is not a very good team, and we've seen – now, the last week was an anomaly with Houston – nearly upsetting Texas, but the newbies in the Big 12 have not fared very well against the old guard. So I laid the 17.5 with Texas. Did you like BYU, Sammy?
No, I was under 50. I don't know that we're going to get them pushing the tempo with Murphy. I like a lot of what Texas's quarterback room has with Murphy, and obviously everybody's fawning over the thought of maybe Arch Manning getting some run here in a blowout. We'll see. I feel like this is a sleepy spot for Texas. You know, like a 37-6 final or something like that. Wouldn't be surprised.
I'll take that.
I like it under 50. I like it under 50 for sure.
Will, anything on USC Texas, or is there something else out there that we may have missed that's striking your fancy?
I've kind of liked these Arizona teams. I think Jeff and I are both on Arizona here. Arizona's been one of the more underrated teams. You know, they have three losses. They're all coin flip losses. Washington, USC, Mississippi State, all games they could have won. Getting 3.5 against Oregon State. I think Jeff likes them to win. I definitely like them to cover here, plus the 3.5. And Arizona State's been one of these little weird pet teams where, you know, I think early in the year, they just had so many turnovers where it skewed their stats, but they've been feisty as a dog. They really could have, should have won last week against Washington. So getting 6 this week, I think is a good bet against Washington State. So an Arizona State moneyline parlay 6-1, if you want to really get adventurous, but I like both the Arizona teams plus the points here.
I think Arizona State, if I'm right, has covered against USC. They covered Colorado. They covered Washington. So they've been a covering machine out west so far this year in the conference games. I think I'm missing one other game that they covered.
USC, Cal, Colorado, Washington.
Yeah, they covered all those.
USC was a 14-point game, but they were probably a 30-point dog in that game.
21, yeah.
I'm looking back at their schedule. I
21 first half.
I remember I actually had them against Oklahoma State when they were just inept on offense and incapable of doing anything.
They are inept on offense and incapable of doing anything.
Then the following week after like seeing them again, I was like, I'm just Fresno State. I think Fresno State might have been your best bet that week.
I don't know, but it was one of my favorites. Yeah, Fresno State beat them 29-0. They had 8 turnovers. Yeah, not great.
I love 6-1 money line parlay from Will. 5 weeks ago, Bears like, oh, the line was 30. Will's like, no, it's 25.5. Like,
35.5
Whatever.
It was 35.5 that game. Like, it was 21 for the. Is that USC first half minus 21? So I remember.
Right.
Yeah. This is our life.
This is what we do.
This is what we do. We sit here and we think about the horrible beats and the wins that should have been but weren't. And rehash all of this stuff. Life is a degenerate. It's a wonderful
Tennessee
thing.
gonna cover in Kentucky?
I have no feel for either of these teams.
I don't either.
They beat Kentucky by like 90 last year. Like Mark, I'm sure will be wound up after making the comments that he did a couple weeks ago about Georgia looking for revenge. I got nothing on Kentucky. Maybe under might be the play there. Will, Sammy, anything on Kentucky, Tennessee?
I mean, how about Milton on the road? I don't know if I trust that. I don't know if they can run the ball. So to me, I think Kentucky is worth a look. And, you know, you mentioned looking back at the season. I'm looking ahead at the season, just looking at some of these teams after this week. Some of these teams have 3-4 games left. It's like, man, where does the season go? We're almost, a month left. We're almost to the finish line. So we got to savor these last few games here. It goes by so fast. It's amazing.
Are there any, you just looking at the, like the slate here, you're talking about the season going by fast. Like which of these one loss teams do you think might be worth a play on the, to win the national title? So you got Texas 6-1, you got Oregon at 6-1, not 6-1, 6-1. Texas is 6-1, Oregon 6-1, Alabama is 7-1, Penn State 6-1, Utah is 6-1. Like, I actually made a bet on Oregon last week, Jeff. Sorry, 35-1 to win the national title.
You just mushed them for this week.
I know I did, but Anybody out there like?
I mean, it has to be Zombie Alabama, right? If Alabama continues to just get better each week on offense, Milroe gets more comfortable in the pocket, starts making more routine throws. He's very good at the home run throw. We know that. But just getting more routine throws. They have LSU coming up. I believe it's in next week or the week after.
Next week.
And if they beat LSU, they're going to play Georgia in the SEC championship game, most likely. Beat Georgia, they're right. I mean, they're in the playoff, yep, right? Like,
exactly.
They're right there. I think we've kind of forgotten that Alabama, again, offensively, if they sort of get this more consistency out of their quarterback, their offensive line, they're getting a little bit better each week. So to me, it'd be Alabama who I think it can win the championship here, who's a one-loss team.
Oregon's the one.
Sammy, anything on
I think three of the last four games at home, they have the most. You can't call it a good loss. Nothing's a good loss, but that's the most forgivable loss. Washington, where they should have won the game, they miss a kick at the buzzer. If they went out here, they're going to be in the playoffs. So Oregon's the one. I wish you'd text me, Bear. I would have gotten down some of that 30. Is it still 35-1? To me, that's a good number.
Guys, don't do this.
I'll look. I'll look. I don't know if I have access to that sports book when I go to Kansas this week. I don't know if they're open in that region. But I can. I have some.
Why are you guys doing this?
To make you angry.
This is not good. Before Oregon goes on the road as a 7-point favorite.
Well, you just said you're taking Utah this week anyway. So
no, I didn't. I said I'm taking the under in this game. I bet on the Chargers last weekend against the Chiefs, right? +5.5.
Heaven help you.
Stunk as a Chiefs fan to watch that game and like only hope the Chiefs win by 1 to 5 points. It's a terrible feeling. I'm not doing that with Oregon this weekend.
That was like the first time ever the Chargers.
I know.
We'll talk about that on the NFL pod before we go. I guess, well, Sammy, was there anything else out there that you like this week? We got any Ivy League total team totals or anything out there that we can sink our teeth into?
Hey, we've been good in the Ivy League this year. Don't even start with me. On top of my love for Oregon, which just came out of nowhere like 3 seconds ago. Yeah, I think Oregon's a lock to make the playoff now. I think this Brown team is going to score a bunch of points again. We did them a couple weeks ago on this show. This is Friday night FCS, boys and girls. I know they don't have a graphic for this one. I know the crew is like, wait, what number
it's
is
going
that?
It's going in the calendar right now, Friday night FCS.
It's Brown
Bet and Brown. Pennsylvania.
And if anybody's on this show has been watching the Brown totals from open, like from post until game time, these totals have all moved like 5-6 points. So I think the number that's going to open is 52. And if it opens 52, it's not going to last. Wink, wink. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to win. But if you're betting these Brown totals, you sicko, you need to bet them early when the number comes up because you're going to miss the move. And you don't want to be betting over 55 or over 56 when it opens at 52. That's the magic number. 52 is what we think it's going to be, and we're going to go over in Brown and Penn.
What are these
open
days?
On the actual gambling group chat, Sammy and Bear were going back and forth about the opening line time for this game a couple weeks ago. There, Sammy had his little number in there, right? Rotation number. He had, he's like, it's open up in 7 minutes. I'm telling you guys, it opened up 12 minutes later.
In South Bend, like,
they're betting it back and forth.
It's like, we're just waiting for, like, and finally one site had it, which was a little higher than, and then the other site put it up at what Sammy thought it was going to be. So it was great.
Yeah.
And then when you're trying to bet, it's a phone like flies out of your hand, Bear, because you're so excited. You've been refreshing for 10 minutes, and then it pops.
Spin cycle.
Out of your hand.
Verification.
I think it's going to be like 2-3 o'clock, Will. I mean, it's a 7 o'clock Eastern kick. They've been waiting until the very last minute, like on the weekend.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, those games start at like noon Eastern. They'll post them at 10 a.m. So I think like 2-3 o'clock Eastern on Friday. So have your phones ready.
It's in the calendar. Alert is set. Bet Brown over 52, 2 o'clock Eastern on Friday afternoon. This weekend as well, World Series gets underway. The improbable World Series. We could probably spend an hour just dissecting how it's nearly impossible that Arizona is here. I laid a game and a half with Arizona in the series at +245. Like, they shouldn't be here. I just think the stars are aligned for a complete upset Cinderella winner. And I think because I do think it's going to be a short series, I think the fact with Gallen and Merrill Kelly at the top and the emergence of Fott, who's given them now a good number.
So that's how you pronounce his last name.
Brandon Pfaadt. Yeah. He was great against the Phillies. Like, I think the top of the rotation favors them because after Montgomery and Eovaldi, you can't trust Max Scherzer. Like you can't throw him. It's batting practice. So Arizona's got, they shouldn't be here. They got no fear. I think it's a short series either way. I'm going to go with the Diamondbacks to win the World Series, win their second World Series, unfortunately. And I say unfortunately because I still have wake up in the middle of the night in cold sweats about 2001 when that should have been Alfonso Soriano's moment hitting the home run in game 7 and then like zero hard hit balls in the bottom of the inning off of the greatest.
Who was the line for that game, Bear? Remember?
I don't. I would think Arizona would have had to have been favored in that game, right? With the pitching matchup?
No way.
I mean, that was the three-time defending champion Yankees, but they were on the road. It's funny. Arizona was probably the better team in like 6 or 7 of those games. It probably wasn't that that big either way. It's probably close to a point.
Pick them.
What, Schilling versus Clemens, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Schilling because I remember Johnson pitched game 6 and he absolutely steamrolled him.
I'm not sure I'm wagering on the Rangers, but I'm taking the Rangers because my love for Bruce Bochy.
Well, we love Bruce Bochy, and Will, we've talked about this on text as well. Like the fact that there's still a place for Bruce Bochy, a manager like him, in today's with all the analytics and stats and just kind of the old school. Hey, you know what? Eovaldi, go get the out. You know, I'm sticking with you. Hang in there, and it worked out. If the Rangers win, I will be happy for Bruce Bochy. But Will, did you play anything?
Not yet. I think I'm leaning towards Rangers in 7 is 4-1. I want to root for a long series. I can't just in my head. I have to believe in something sacred, and we can't have a 162 game season where a team gets outscored for the year and then holds up the trophy at the end. That just doesn't compute with me. The Rangers were at least in first place for pretty much most of the season in the AL West. They were a 91 team. So I think Texas' offense will be hard to deal with. Kelly and Gowan have not been as good on the road. So we haven't had a game 7 in the World Series, I think, 2017. So maybe we get a long series here. I'll take Texas in 7 plus 400.
Sammy, baseball fan, yes or no?
Oh, of course. I was going to take Kettle One Marte, at 9-1. I know he says it could tell, but I'm saying Kettle because I do love me some Kettle.
You're a funny guy today, Sammy.
All I'm saying is I think it's a better bet rather than take the D-backs at plus 145. You could take one of their players to win MVP. Marte is 9-1. Carroll's 10-1. Moreno's 20-1. And we've seen some long shots win MVP. We saw Jorge Soler win it a couple of years ago.
Yes, we did. I was waiting for it.
Pierce in 2018 won it. We've seen some longer shots because this is not like the Conn Smythe. It's not the whole postseason. It's just that World Series. And I think there's some great value on those D-back hitters.
Oh, I know, Will, you've got
it. Just give it to the best player. Yeah, it's not Super Bowl MVP either. It's a good point.
Well, who was it for the Chiefs that should have won a couple of years ago? Williams, right? Was it Williams? Running back?
Running back, Williams.
Yeah. Yeah. Sammy mentioned Conn Smythe. Well, did you get your Connor McDavid, Conn Smythe bet in for the Oilers playoff run coming up?
This is the Oilers' year, as Bear knows. It's the Clippers' year. Those are his two favorite teams, the Oilers and the Clippers.
Yeah, but Clippers, Oilers, an NBA, NHL championship parlay coming up. We all knew, everyone in New York knew that there would be a Marte as the NLCS MVP this year, right?
That's right.
Had to end it on the Mets. On the Mets, by the way, who had a better run differential than the team that is in the World Series. Okay. And I think we've exhausted our allotment for today.
Arizona 6 out of 7 times. It's amazing.
Yep. Hang the banner. Hang the banner at Citi Field. All right, gents. Until next week, have a good one. Talk soon.
Welcome back to the show, Bear. I don't know about you, but I am going to bet that Brown total now. Sammy better text us when
it pops. I literally typed it into my iCal to set me an alarm for 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon to bet it.
We should have an over-under of the time it posts.
I don't think it's going to be 2 Eastern. I think it'll be later.
Yeah, probably like 4 or 5.
You know the listenership and the viewership of the Bear Bets podcast. It's going to, all the Vegas books now are going to be listening, and they're going to open it much higher than it should be now because we kid Sammy about this, by the way.
Those wagers win, but man.
Between that and a couple of years ago when Bryant became the
college basketball, the overs and
the totals were off by like 20 points. Yeah.
And they weren't even close. Yeah. So
I'm in on it. All right. I'm in on Bears bets. Let's talk about the wagers Bear has made so far before we get to our best bets in just a second. He has North Carolina State under 16.5 points against Clemson, Texas minus the 17 against BYU, and Georgia minus 14.5 against Florida. Bear, what is your best bet for the weekend?
I like Texas State getting 6 against Troy, and Troy is a team that I've had a couple of times on this show with a really good defense, and the last 3 games they've allowed a total of 10 points, which is incredible. But this is going to be a tougher test. This is a Texas State offense. Former Tulsa quarterback G.J. Kinney is now their head coach. They run a high-powered, explosive offense. The former Auburn and LSU quarterback T.J. Finley is there in San Marcos now. They average over 38 points a game. And you look at their 2 losses. They lost to UTSA by 7. UTSA is a good team. And they lost to UL Lafayette by 4. Like, this is this is not a team that I think is going to be getting blown out. Like, it feels, if Troy escapes with the win, I think it's a 1-score game. I don't think it's going to be easy at all. Texas State looking to get bowl eligible. They got that win over Baylor early in the year. People just don't, you look at Texas State and it's like, was that like the Kathy Ireland school and unnecessary, whatever that movie was but it's like they're a legitimately good offense, and Troy's defense is going to be tested, I think, this week quite a bit. So give me the Bobcats plus the 6.
There's also a chance, I think, for like a backdoor cover here, right? Because of the Texas State offense.
They're going to throw and move.
So I'm with you here. All right. My best bet is going to be Arizona at home plus 3.5 against Oregon State. This is a Pac-12 After Dark special. Ranked teams go to die in the desert in the Pac-12 conference late at night. I played one of those games in 07. We were ranked, I think, 2nd in the country and lost to Arizona. We lost our quarterback in that game. Unfortunate, but it happens. When Arizona is good, they beat ranked teams at home. 2018, beat ranked Oregon at night. 2017, beat ranked Wazoo at night. 2015, beat ranked Utah at night. It's a place teams go to die. It just is. And Arizona's good this year. They're 4-3. They lost a close game to USC. They should have won. Lost a close game to Washington. They probably should have won. Or it was close enough. Lost to Mississippi State. They probably should have won. They're a good football team. They're much better. Oregon State's good this year too, but not as good on the road. The toughest road test so far. They lost at Washington State. Yep. That game was close at the end, but wasn't close for a good majority. Both teams off a bye. I just like Arizona in this game. I think they win outright, but I'll take the 3.5 points.
That 44-6 result against Wazoo a couple weeks ago, like when I saw that, I thought, that's got to be wrong.
Here's the reason why Arizona is better this year, though. They're 4-9th in the country in points per drive on defense. Their defense has gone a lot better. They have invested, Jed Fish came in and said, we're going to fix the offense first.
Who's their DC now,
I forget who it is because Don Brown left.
I'll
find a shout out for them. We'll get it. But their defense has gone so much better. They invested offense early on. They got obviously Cowing. They have Teratoa McMillan. They went to Noah Fifita now. They have a first round left tackle in Jordan Morgan. But defensively, they're playing so much better. They're tackling better. They're covering better. And against Oregon State, very important to be able to stop the run. On the flip side, though, Oregon State has struggled to stop a passing attack at times this season. And Arizona is one of the better ones in the Pac-12 conference. So
Johnny Nansen, he was at UCLA.
Okay, perfect. There we go. Got the shout out. The Arizona's defensive. Arizona wins this game. So I got Arizona plus 3.5.
By the way, I'm sorry for taking you down memory lane here, but I remember game day was at the Oregon Arizona State game
when Dixon
got hurt.
Correct.
And then, I remember.
Oh, you remember the game? Oh, cool.
Someone heading into the Arizona week, like, oh no, he's fine, he's good.
Not to get long in this podcast.
Stories.
We had a locker with 4 of us, and it was me, Dennis, and 2 other players. And 2 guys were hurt by that time of year. So just me and Dennis together in the locker, they were out for the season. We had a bunch of guys hurt besides just Dennis. So he gets hurt against Arizona State. We win that game by a couple scores. Yeah. Arizona State was like 6th in the country too. Rudy Carpenter. Yeah. And so we head into the Arizona weekend. It was a Thursday night game with Arizona State. So we had a whole 10 days to prepare. And I walk right next to Dennis. I talk to him all the time. He's like, yeah, I'm good. I remember in practice that week, we were a zone read team, right? So we always read the defensive end every time that we ran the football. And if the defensive end crashed, Dennis would pull it and run. And we had other options off that. It was the simplest of RPO options. It really was run option. And that entire week, I remember this because I'll tell you why. We just ran regular inside zone where you hand the ball off and the tight end is on the backside of inside zone, just blocks defensive end all week. And I thought to myself at the time, like, it's a little funky. Like, why is Dennis not running the football at all in practice? So we get to the game and our first touchdown is Dennis Dixon running a long touchdown run. The reason why would be is because I messed up, which was rare for me to do from a mental error standpoint, was we got a look that we had done all season long, all practice time, where if the defensive end walks, the outside linebacker walks up on the line of scrimmage, I block out on him, Dennis pulls the ball and runs where the defensive end vacates, and he runs in between that gap. So instinctively, in the middle, in the game, I have a tight end next to me, Ed Dixon next to me, linebacker walks up, I signal Dennis that I'm going to do this, and if you look on the play, the tight end blocked the defensive end this way, I cross the block the outside linebacker this way, and Dennis just runs the ball for a 60-yard touchdown run on a torn ACL. So no one had any idea he was hurt. None whatsoever. Then obviously later in the game, he tears the ACL. Because with an ACL injury, you can run straight just fine. It's a side-to-side that makes it tough. And we were about to go up 15-0 in that game, too. And Derek Jones' ball hit him in the chest, popped up in the air, interception. Yikes. That was a good Oregon team. We were good that year.
Dennis Dixon was going to win the Heisman Trophy, and Oregon was going to win the national championship.
The teams, LSU and Ohio State, were not as good
The fact that Ohio State got into that BCS championship game was a complete joke.
So now that I'm sad...
You lose to Illinois on your home field in November, and somehow, like everyone else lost, like that 2007 was an unbelievable year. Like the West Virginia Pitt result,
13-9
was the most unfathomable result that I've.
Everyone was number two. Everyone was number two in the nation. South Florida was number two at one point. They lost. We were number two. Kansas, West Virginia was number,
and then
West Virginia was number two.
Missouri was number one.
Yeah,
and when we lost the rematch with Oklahoma,
everyone at the top of the year. And the next week we went to UCLA, got shut out 16-0.
Which was Brady Leaf, right? Was it?
Well, he got hurt in the first quarter, so we were on a 4-string quarterback who was a redshirt freshman walk on, and we went Wildcat for some of the we lost.
Trying to remember his name.
Who
the quarterback that wound up coming in for Leaf.
Well, it was Cody Kemp originally, and then Justin Roper played our bowl
game. Justin Roper, yes. And you won the bowl game.
59-24. It was Chip Kelly's best coaching. We had a bowl game with a fifth-string quarterback, a walk-on freshman quarterback. We scored 59 points, I think it was.
Sun Bowl, right?
Oh, yeah. Sun Bowl, South Florida. That was so much fun. All right. I've had so much fun in this, Bear, reminiscing about Oregon's what-if seasons. Well, and you mushed us by betting on them to win the championship, too. It's been a rough Oregon.
I bet the number, damn it.
I know.
35-1 is a good number.
How about Kyle Whittingham very quickly? I know we're going long.
No, I don't. No, there's no time limit.
Kyle Whittingham needs to get the attention and love he deserves. And Utah is out. Not only their quarterback, both tight ends, 8 running backs, 4 defensive players. They just lost a middle linebacker. Their best safety did not play the first half of the USC game. Their other safety is their running back now. And all they do is smash people in the face and win football games. Yep. Unbelievable, man.
It is. It's crazy.
He should win coach of the year.
Speaking of winning football games, North Carolina did not win a football game last
week. No.
They got our guy Scott. Even though the Seahawks didn't make him sweat a little bit.
Yes.
But old Mac got him last week.
We debuted last week, Show Us Your Slip. And we had a slip shown last week that had a 16 parlay. And North Carolina cost our man, Scott, a 16 parlay. So we're back this week. Now, Go to our Twitter at Bear Bets Podcast. We asked this question each week. He wants to show us your bets for the week. Nathan Moore at NM_51_ say took Florida State +700 to win it all, and Oregon +210 to win the Pac-12. Thoughts on those futures? And he took the over in Wyoming and Boise State this weekend. Florida State +700 to win it all, I think, is a good wager.
It is, because you would think that they have the best chance of all these Power 5 teams to finish the season undefeated based on who they have left in the regular season and in potentially the ACC title game. I like the Oregon +210 to win the Pac-12 a lot.
I'm tired of talking about Oregon futures. We're just mushing my team.
We said this
We said this for a couple of weeks now. Coming out of the Oregon-Washington game, I said if they do rematch Nathan, like you said, in the Pac-12 title game, I think they're going to be favored on the
plus 210. If you think they're going to be there, then plus 210 now is a great wager.
Yes.
You won't get plus 210 on game time, basically.
Right, and you can. And I think Texas moving forward would beat Oklahoma in a rematch in the Big 12 title game. I like both of those futures, Nathan. I had no feel on Wyoming Boise this week.
Florida State is interesting because if you look at what wins championships, it's a lot of times it's your pass rush, which Florida State has, mm-hmm. and the ability to make big plays on offense, which mm-hmm. Florida State has as well. Like they're not a bad wager to play them because I think they have the things that help you win championship football games.
I agree. And we'll see that you got. We'll see what Miami's like in a couple weeks when they play them. They still play the Gators, and we'll see if North Carolina can rally from the embarrassing loss to maybe get to the ACC title game.
Virginia,
yeah, yikes! Great story with the kid who scored the touchdown coming off of the tragedy last year, but it's an inexcusable, unfathomable loss.
Can't do that
for Mack Brown and the Tar Heels. So that's it.
That's it.
Another week in the books. Big noon kickoff presents Bear Bets. We'll hopefully have some winners this week. Group chat was always fun. Appreciate the reviewing, the subscribing, the rating, all of it for consuming our podcast on wherever you get your podcast. So appreciate Sammy P and Will's time as always. Appreciate your time and the trip down memory lane from their time in Eugene. And remember, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.